Welcome to Nuanced Judaism, coming to you from OU Torah.
I'm Simi.
And I am Rivka.
Hi, welcome back. Okay, after a bit of a break, Simi, this time it's your take.
So the idea I wanted to discuss was, when it comes to the parsha we're dealing with this week, there's sort of an idea that sort of like came to me. When it comes to the sin or the failure of the, what's known as the Dar HaFlaga,
the Tower of Babel.
Right. Yeah.
Which is interesting because usually people talk about Noach and the flood. Little known is that at the end of the same parsha is the whole dispersion of the Tower of Babel.
Right. And it's one of those things, it's a tiny amount of text. It's not like a whole chapter discussing it in detail. It's like a couple of psukim.
Maybe that's why. Yeah.
And the sort of the failure that happened in the flood, people understand there was like corruption. The failure that happened when it came to the Tower of Babel is a bit more subtle.
So you want to give a quick description of what happened?
So basically, the group of humanity comes together and builds a tower. And this seems to be a real problem. And different commentators sort of weighed in. And that's not going to be the focus of the idea that I want to talk about now.
Because it is interesting, because look at the Colosseum. I mean, there's plenty of times that people came together to build something.
Right, and architecture and community and all these things have a positive aspect to them.
So why was it so negative?
So different commentators weighed in on different, either it was like a rebellion against God, or which I think, or what I find the most compelling is the idea that somehow they took a good principle, the principle of a community, and they went to its extreme. Everything became about the community. Everything became about this national project. And thereby what happens when everything becomes about the community, the individual sort of...
You know what that sounds like? It sounds like your average cult.
How so?
I mean, a cult always starts with a community or a leader or a project or an invention or whatever you want to do. But then slowly, slowly, you lose what made you special. So the person's individuality, the thing that what made them unique is swallowed up because of the cult's needs and the leader's needs. And then a family barely recognizes someone who becomes a cult member because they become a shadow of themselves.
It's actually interesting. The thing that often draws people towards a cult is like a individual...
self-actualization.
Yeah, and that has to be swallowed up. So in a similar sort of way, that's the sin of this group of people. And the reason why I want to focus on it is that it takes something that's a bit subtle. The idea of a community. Community is a positive. Even with a cult, what makes cults attractive is that they have that community aspect to them.
You're part of something larger.
You belong, exactly. Now, the minute the community itself becomes the goal, individuals sort of fall at the wayside. They become means to the community's end.
And that's when you're saying that's when it becomes bad.
That's when it becomes bad.
Because this is a subtle point, because you're talking about means and ends here.
Correct.
If you're saying that the individual's needs is the ends, individual people need a sense of belonging, a sense of motivation, support, a cause, etc., and a community provides that for them, then the community is the means, and the like-minded individual's goals is the ends.
Perfect.
You're saying what a cult is, or what the Tower of Babel, the Dar HaFlaga was doing, is they were changing it around. The individual was the means, and his manpower was what he was providing.
Towards the end.
The end, which was the community symbolized in the tower.
Perfect. So the idea that I want to play off this is that in the same way, this has an attractive component, but its
What's
core...
What's the this that you're focusing on?
This discussion about the community is attractive, but if it goes too far, it becomes pretty dark. There's a cultural phenomena that goes back to the ancient times of a certain relativistic tendency. The idea that a man is the measure of all things. The idea that we all have our own truth.
Or the woman is the measure.
Yeah, in ancient Greece, they weren't into women. I mean... they were into women, even actually quite egalitarian in some like enclaves. But no, they would have spoken. I mean, everybody spoke in the language of the man did this. They didn't mean dude necessarily. They meant the individual perceiver is the measure of all things. And that's a way of looking at the world through a very subjective lens. And that's something very attractive today in modern culture.
And Tower of Babel did that?
No, nothing to do with that.
The Tower of Babel... you're saying the Tower of Babel is something that a community is something that looks very enticing and very good, but taken to the extreme, it becomes destructive because it negates each person's own mission and each person's individuality. And now you're saying a different example, completely different, that also looks really good from the outside, but has dark when you scrape a little bit. Is that what you're saying?
Perfect.
Okay. So what is this concept?
The idea of a certain cultural trend that we find today that people like to speak about their own truth. I have my truth, you have your truth. That culture's different, but I'm not going to say a culture's bad. I'm just going to say, listen, we all have our own perspective. And there's something very, it's something that sounds very tolerant
about
that.
It's also very true. If I grew up a certain way, and you grew up a different way, and I have strengths and weaknesses, and you have strengths and weaknesses, obviously we both have a different way of looking at the world, and that needs to be respected.
So on one level, it has ideas that are quite attractive to it. And the area that I want to point to as being a problem is a bit subtle, so let me tell me if we're good with it. The idea of relativism in general it's inherently self-contradictory in some ways, but I want to point to perhaps a different aspect of it.
Hang on, are you able to explain why that's inherently...
If a person says all truth is relative, that statement is a statement appealing to a certain bedrock.
Oh, and what happens if I disagree with all truth is relative? Are you going to have anything against me?
Exactly.
Okay,
but the idea that I want to point to is that if you take a relativistic framework, but at the same time, you want to convince someone of something.
Could you play that out?
I have an office, and I have people who work for me, and I take a very relativistic perspective on the world. Each individual has their own truth. I'm not going to make any sort of claims to know absolute truth, or even strive towards absolute
truth.
There
is no absolute truth.
And we all have our own perspectives.
So I'm the boss.
And reality hits that you need me to get in line. You want something done, but I don't agree with you. Are you going to go towards debate, discussion, argumentation, attempt to convince me? No, because we've all got our own truth.
There's no point convincing.
The only thing you can resort to is either power or manipulation.
Or like ignore them, but then you're not going to get anything done.
Exactly. So a relativistic framework at its core, if it's taken to an extreme, can have a very dark component to it, which means the dismantling of truth as a concept leads not to tolerance, leads to totalitarianism,
it's
oppression.
Interesting. It's interesting because down on the ground, I think most people, even if they say they're relativists, they won't go all the way down this rabbit hole. Let's say I believe that everybody has their own truth, and there's no such thing as an absolute truth. There's no such thing as absolute good, bad. Everybody has their own good and their own bad. And then you show me a picture of something horrific that's happening in the world. So I think most people will say, no, forget that. Now that is bad.
Right. It's a
philosophy. So they'll actually change their mind.
It's a
philosophy
that's very difficult to live by.
However, you're saying that in theory, someone who holds really, really dear relativism, I believe everything's relative, and that's not going to change. But now I'm faced with you, and you don't believe what I believe. Then what will I do?
You won't resort to discussion. You won't resort to attempting to convince me. You'll resort to the only thing that's left, which is...
No, I can be tolerant.
But then I won't get in line.
Who says I need you to get in line?
You're my boss.
Oh, okay, you're saying I want you to get in line.
Or you're in the society that I'm in and you disagree with my moral framework, but I want you to live in my... You're living in my society, okay, and I need you to agree with me.
So you're saying, yes, of course, somebody can be tolerant and ignore the person that's offending them, but let's say they don't want to do that. Let's say they want everybody to be in line. You're saying conversation can't, by default, play a part in this. You can't debate because you believe... what you believe, and I believe what I believe. I can't convince you otherwise. Is that what you're saying?
The note of comparison is just this idea that on the surface, something has a convincing or appealing aspect to it, but once you scratch a bit, you can see a very dark component there. I want to be tolerant of people, but at the same time, that notion of dismantling truth through a relativistic lens leads to oppression and totalitarianism.
That's very interesting, because it's very true. From the outside, when you say everybody has their own truth, it sounds very lovey-dovey. But what you're denying is conversation.
And just to add to that, the two things that are the biggest enemies to truth are thinking you've got it or don't believing it exists.
What do you mean?
If you don't think truth exists, you're not going to strive for it. If you think you've got it in the total...
You're not going to strive for it.
In which case, you'll never grow.
It's interesting because what we call a sage, like a someone who's learned, is a Talmud chacham, not a chacham. You're always trying to be a student of wisdom, not actually a wise person in the first place. But it is interesting what you're saying here. It's, it kind of reminds me of a relationship. If somebody tells me that they're in a relationship and everything's perfect because they're all always the same and they're always agreeing with each other and everything's rosy because they always agree, I would actually be a little bit concerned because they're never honing the muscle of debate and conversation. Whereas if somebody's like, no, we have similar values, but we don't always agree, but we know how to deal with that, that's a skill. You see what I mean?
You'll need, I put it another way, you'll never grow if you marry someone boring.
Correct, but I don't think anybody is boring, but people shy away from conversation.
Different people, if they're paired together, can be boring to each other, and that's not good. Because if you're boring and you don't feel you're contending with someone, you're never going to grow. That's the same in the realm of ideas.
Mm.
In the realm of ideas, if you never challenge your preconceptions, you'll never grow.
And you'll become like static and you'll have the same
conception. Let's bring religion into it. If you have the same conception of God that you had when you were 5 as you have when you're 30, that's really sad.
You need to have those points of tension. You just mentioned before, with the iron and the stick.
If iron hits against wood.
Wood breaks.
Wood breaks, but what happens to the iron?
After a while, gets, what's it called?
Dull.
Dull.
But iron against iron sharpens the iron.
It doesn't break the other iron, though.
Exactly.
Right, okay.
So you can play out the metaphor. But right. Yes, it's, anyway, so that was the
And
thought.
It doesn't break the other iron, which is the guy disagreeing. Okay, amazing.
All right, thanks for listening, everyone.
Thanks for listening.